changed since then as it's really grown up. But anyway, Pastor Jack is pastors a church there, and Lynette, his wife, and they're on a 2-week trip. They come around the UP and spent some time up there going all over the UP. Jack was going to leave home with his motorcycle. They had all their gear on, everything to go and ready to get on, and started pouring gas out of the tank and all over. So he had to take his car, and that was hard, wasn't it? But anyway, they left anyway and went on the trip. But the interesting thing is it's so good to have Jack here to share. We went to Israel together. He was on the bus with Reverend Ken and all of us, and we had a good time in Israel. And so they've been staying with us since Thursday, and it's just been a joy and pleasure. We had a good time in prayer last night, praying and getting in the presence of the Lord. But anyway, I really appreciate Jack. Jack and I went to Bible college together, pretty much about 4 years together that we were there. And anyway, he's been to Alaska, he's been to Zimbabwe, all over the world, Malawi, all over the world as missions and missionary. And but anyway, he's got a heart for God. He's a pastor's pastor, ministers to a lot of people, and they both are just got the heart to see people's lives changed. But anyway, it's an honor to him to have Pastor Jack and Lynette here. So give them a warm welcome. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. For the glory of the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Please be seated. It is definitely a joy and an honor to be here. You know, all the years that just kind of come and go, how many know what I'm talking about? Life just is going like that. I was up in near Marquette. We have another buddy, and so we spent Monday night there. Hadn't seen each other for 40 years, and I was saying, Lou, kind of reminds me a little bit, this experience of seeing you all these years, to one of these days we're all going to stand before the Lord. You do know that. We're all going to give an account of our life. Now, I like to have fun, but there's a serious side of life. You know that. And we come together, and I know we want to just be lifted up and encouraged. Don't get heavy with me. I'm not trying to get heavy, but, you know, it reminded me of that. That one of these days, we're going to give an account of the life, and our life is going by so rapidly. And, of course, this young man here, Sam, he thinks, oh, man, trust me, Sam, life is going by fast, and it really is. And here we are, and who'd have ever thought we'd have the opportunity just to be with your pastors like this? And, yeah, we go back a long ways, but here we are today, huh? And what God's doing, I just want to boast a little bit. Of course, if you want to boast, you should boast in the Lord, but can I just say how much we love your pastors? Is that okay? You know, like you said, we go back. He was from Bismarck, and then I met Candy later from Bismarck. I'm from a little town called Glen Ullin, 50 miles west of Bismarck, little town. So when I drive up to these communities, you know, I'm just thinking, this is amazing. You know, I mean, you know, he's from the city. I thought he'd probably be in more of the city area, but he's just right in a nice rural area. In fact, we live in Parker. It's growing like crazy, but where we pastor is 9 miles south in a town called Franktown. And it's not even incorporated. Got one stoplight. But there are people all over. You don't see them. They're in these trees. And it's an interesting place, to be honest with you. But I just felt when I drove up here, wow, this is green. And, of course, when I think of Michigan now, I'll always remember trees. Trees. Especially in the UP, when you're driving up there and you say to each other, it'd be nice just to see a little land, wouldn't it, honey? Just a little land, maybe a bale or something. But there's a lot of trees here, but beautiful. I have a brother over here in Davison, Bob's his name, and we're going to go there this afternoon and then stay there till Thursday. And at that time, my wife, we had made plans. She's going to fly back. How many think that was a smart man? She's going to fly back because he was going to ride with me all this way on bike. I think that's a good woman. But anyway, I was going to have her fly back, and of course now we're here in our car. But that's all right. I think she'll appreciate getting back early anyway. And then I'll continue on down through Indiana, see some friends in Missouri and so forth. But here we are today. You know, the Lord, you're singing by grace. You know that grace empowers you to go beyond your natural ability? See, we make these excuses. I don't know who this is for. It's just coming on me. But we make excuses. Well, you know, I just couldn't help it. You know, I just had to give in. Listen, I have to remind you, that's a lie from the devil. See, his grace does empower you to go beyond your natural ability. Just when you've come to the end, you said, you know, I can't go any further. Listen, when you call on the name of the Lord, his grace gets you to go across that line. So for whoever that is today, bless you that his grace is sufficient. And if you feel like you've come to the end, I don't want you to believe the enemy's lies any longer. He's going to empower you to go beyond your natural ability to finish and do the work that God's called you to do. Amen. Well, this morning I want to take one of the I Ams of the Messiah. Now, there's several throughout the Scriptures, but I'm limiting to the book of John. The Lord said, I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He also says, I am the good shepherd. And we go to John 10 this morning. Reading John 10, verse 1. John 10, verse 1, out of the New King James Version, says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up over on the other side, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls in his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters in me, by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I know we like that last verse, don't we? If I could just for a few moments just give us a little background of the imagery of the door, and then I'll get into some other things. In the Gospels, the Pharisees had a tough, difficult time with Yeshua, didn't they? In chapter 9, just before the chapter I just read, he heals a blind man that was born blind. And it wasn't because his parents sinned, okay? God wanted to heal him and bring glory to his name. The unfortunate thing is the Pharisees said to him, he is a sinner, because he healed on the Sabbath. Very religious, forgetting that there is a good God. Did you hear what I just said? That there is a good God. They overlooked that. Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The statement that was made prior was, this man is not from God because he is not observing the Sabbath. See, God is a merciful God. Any day of the week is the right day for someone to be healed. Someone was healed today. Several of you were healed today because it was declared. He is our healer. See, the Sabbath does not keep us from doing the works of the kingdom. The Sabbath was referring to natural work, not kingdom work. John 4:34, Yeshua said, "My food is that I would do the will of the one who sent me, and I would complete his work." See, what nourished the Messiah was doing kingdom work. How about you? You know what I'm saying? In other words, you know what I'm talking about. When you've either led someone to the Lord, you prayed for someone, you've done a good deed in the kingdom's name, in the Lord's name, you felt good about that, didn't you? And the Lord said, "My food, what inspires me, what really motivates me, what encourages me, what is really the quencher of my life is to do the work of the kingdom." And so that's exactly what he was doing on the Sabbath. Now the Pharisees also, besides the Lord healing on the Shabbat, on Sabbath, they didn't believe he was the I Am. You remember when Moses in Exodus had a visitation by God at the burning bush. Some of you have had a visitation of God at your burning bush. Come on. And God had visited you just like he did Moses. But Moses said, "Now who am I going to say?" He's supposed to go back to Egypt and set the children of Israel free. "Who do I say sent me? Tell them I am that I am sent you." Yod Heh Vav Heh of the Old Testament is Yeshua in the New Testament. But the Pharisees didn't believe that. See, what we believe about Yeshua or Jesus really affects the way we live our life. He said, "I am." That is the self-existent one. That is, there is no beginning and there's no end. Eternal. Now, can you imagine the Lord professing that among the people when they discovered he was Joseph's son? I could see how that can get a little complicated and how faith would say, "You know, I don't believe that." The revelation that we have of the Lord really will determine how you and I will live our life. If we believe that he is the I Am, then we believe that he is God. That's a whole different ballgame. Now, you do know that the Lord himself was with his disciples. You know, we're his disciples. And he says this. "And who do you say I am?" Remember that? That's in Matthew 16. And then, and Yeshua said to them, of course, Peter says this, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, how did he get that revelation? Yeshua said this, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because not flesh and blood, but my Father, the one in heaven, revealed this to you." So who right now reveals the truth about Yeshua? It's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. But when the Holy One, Holy Spirit, will come, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak for himself, but whatever he will hear, he will speak and report the things that are coming to you. How many are thankful this morning for Holy Spirit? The Ruach HaKodesh. Aren't you thankful for Holy Spirit? And especially when he convicts us. Oh man, that's a good thing. Don't quench Holy Spirit when he's convicting you. It's for your good. It's for my good. Why? Because he wants us to continue to live a transformed life. None of us, I hope I don't break anybody's bubble here, none of us have arrived in this room. None of us have arrived. I know Pastor Adi is very close, but none of us have arrived in this room. None of us have arrived in this room. And so at the end of chapter 9, we have Yeshua letting the Pharisees know that they are spiritually blind. We won't spend time there, but this door, this imagery of the door, at the end of the night, the shepherds would take the sheep and put them in some kind of a pen. It would vary. Sometimes it was caves, sometimes it was branches, sometimes it was stone foundation. But whatever the case may be, they would bring the sheep in for the night. Okay? And they only had one door in and one door out. And so the shepherd would sleep where the doorway was. That's going to keep the wild animals out. The predators, the thieves are not going to be able to take the sheep. Why? Because the shepherd has blocked the door. They would have to go through that shepherd, and that wasn't going to happen. Now, there are several doors in Scripture. I just want to mention a few this morning, and we'll come back to I am the door and just kind of end it with what he meant by that. But let me just kind of take a little rabbi trail and give you four doors that I think are important for us to hear this morning. The first one is in Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to start with the second part of verse 2. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." There are so many things here that we could just go off on, but I'm just going to do my best to constrain myself just to a few thoughts, okay, on that. I call this the door to decision making. Now, commentaries have different thoughts of why the Lord favored Abel's, because he brought the firstborn. Cain brought an offering of his ground. Most likely it wasn't the first fruits of his ground, but anyway, that's another story for another time. But the Lord accepted Abel's offering, firstborn. How many know that God knows your next move? He knows what you're going to do. He may tell you something, give you instruction what to do, but he knows what you're going to do. Now, he's not going to make you do what he wants. Otherwise, can you? If he could do that, everybody would be saved today. Everybody would be a born-again believer in Yeshua, but that's not how it works. He's given each of us a free will to choose. See, God is not interested in robot worship. He wants heartfelt worship. He wants you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In fact, he even said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a tall order at times, but it's attainable. God will not ask us to do something we can't do with his help. You can love your neighbor as yourself. You can do that. You can love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can do that. But he talks to Cain, if you do well. In other words, if you give the right offering, or if you will make the right decision here. But it was with him. Now, all of us in this room have decisions to make. Some of you right now might be making, you have a tough decision, maybe a very important decision to make. There is something that's knocking on your door, the scripture said, and it's sin. It wants to draw your flesh away from living righteously. I want you to think about this. The decisions that you're about to make, whatever that looks like to you, whatever that decision is, the Lord is saying, you have two choices. You can make a decision that lines up with righteousness or his will, or you can make a decision that pleases your flesh. What decision will it be? And we have to make those decisions every day. We are faced with decision every day of our life. We have to make decisions. And the Lord knows what decision that is. But wouldn't it bring pleasure to Him? We always say, God is a good God. You know, it's really nice when we are good to God. Let's be good to God. And He, oh, of course, He's such a good God. But decision-making. So if anybody here today is making a decision, I'm going to be praying over us just at the very end of these different doors that the Lord would help us. Because if you are facing that decision, whatever it may be, may the Lord give you that grace to make the decision that walks in alignment to His will. Cain allowed sin. You know, it's even identified what that sin was. It was called anger. Now, in your anger, don't sin, okay? Getting angry isn't sin in and of itself. But uncontrolled anger that leads you to sin is wrong. In Galatians 5 talks about all these works of the flesh that we get bombarded throughout our lifetime, and one of them is anger. And if anyone in this room is really having a struggle, because we can struggle with a lot of things. Nobody's perfect here today. But if we are struggling, and I'm being specific with anger, I mean, there's a lot of things, but because of the text here, if you're struggling with anger, we're going to believe God that'll be broken off of you. He wants us to be free from that. We ask Him to forgive us. And we decide today to turn from sin. And get this, you can rule over it, says the Lord Almighty. Do you realize that? You and I can rule over sin because He said so. That's a good place for amen. Amen. Way to go, Jack. Give it, buddy. Okay. Let's go to the second one. And it's found in Psalm 141:3. Now, this is going to cause us to be quiet in the house for a few minutes. That's okay. Because I believe this area is an area, and can I say we all are in this together? Okay. Set a guard, Adonai. This is from probably the Tree of Life version, but set a guard, Adonai, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. I mean, that's that. We can go an hour right there about the mouth. That's not my intent, but just a little something here. Okay, here's David. Ask Adonai to set a guard over his mouth, which is the door to his lips. Yeah, set a guard. James wrote this in James 3:5. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts, doesn't it? Now, I found this to be interesting. On the average, a person opens his or her mouth approximately 700 times a day to speak. Is that true, or would women have 1,000? But anyway, 700 times, I'm just kidding. I love you ladies. You know, you're looking for an opportunity to say something humorous, and I'm sorry, that's where it fit. But just think about it, 700 times a day. None of us are perfect in this room, and I know, but every once in a while, come on, you lay down at night, and in your heart say, you know, this was a perfect day. Perfect day. You know, live for the Lord. He was on my mind. You know, I did this for the kingdom, did that. It's not about works, you know what I'm saying, but you know, that's what we're about anyway. Really, here's the bottom line. It's for you and I to experience Yeshua, share Him, and do what He did. That's really what we're about, isn't it? It really is. That we had really experienced the Lord, and by doing that, then we share what we've experienced, and then we do what He did, because He told us to do that. He said, go! So He already told us to do that. Now, this might be straightforward here, but if you find yourself saying things that are not wholesome, the Bible refers to that. You may be rather negative, criticizing others, lots of complaining, condemning, or comparing, some foul speaking, foolish talking, jesting that offends another, I want you to consider these words from James, James 3:10. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. See, when you come to the Lord, how many know He takes us just as we are, all the rough edges, and He begins to refine us. We're like that. We're on the lay, and He is smoothing us out. But one of the areas that's really difficult for us sometimes is our mouth. Is that okay if I just kind of tell it like it is? It's our mouth. And it says blessing. You know, one minute we can just bless, and the next minute we're cursing. I'm not saying foul language, but complaining. We're just doing stuff that the Bible says we shouldn't be like that. And so the door to speaking. How do we change our speaking? Well, we get God involved, don't we? We ask Him to guard, set a guard over the mouth, over the door of our mouth, so that we would speak words of edification. You know, if we're going to say something, the scripture says we ought to be edifying. It ought to be encouraging. I mean, I know there's times in your family you got to deal with some things and you got to be straightforward, but mostly we're asking Him to guard the door to my lips. Amen? Come on. We all need that. We all need that. So there's not one person here. We all need that. Well, let me scoot along here. Here's another door found in Exodus 12:22. Exodus 12:22. And you will take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you will go out of the door of his house until the morning. And I call this the door to protection. And you know the story during Passover. Taking that blood and applying it to the doorposts and the lintels. They took the blood of that animal that was sacrificed, that lamb. Why? For their own protection. As death came through Egypt, they were protected. They were protected. How many of us know that the devil has an agenda? It's to steal, and it's to kill, and it's to destroy you. Do you know that you're on his hit list? You are on his hit list. And if any of us in this room today, because sometimes it varies, it happens to all of us, but sometimes it varies. Sometimes we feel it more than other weeks, but spiritual attacks. Now, not every time we have something going on is a spiritual attack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes we can make bad decisions, maybe didn't get a good night's sleep, and we're kind of agitated the next day, we're tired. That's not necessarily a spiritual attack. That's just, I should have got more rest. Do you know what I'm saying? But some of you know the difference, and you might be going through some spiritual attack right now. So I want to encourage you with the door to protection, and that we'd apply the blood to that situation. See, I really like that song, "Oh, the blood will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that grows from day to day, it will never lose its power." Amen. Huh? It's never going to lose its power. So you and I, when we're in that spiritual attack, we need to understand the door to our protection is in His blood. Let me say that one more time. The door to protection is in His blood. There are places where they don't like to say the blood. That sounds a little gruesome. Listen, I'm here to testify to you. If it wasn't for His blood that was shed on Calvary, I would be so lost, I can't even tell you where I'd be today. And I think you'd say the same thing. So it's His blood. And so when we are encountering these spiritual attacks, we ask that the blood of Yeshua be applied to our situation. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard or protect you against the evil one. The door to protection. Let me give you one more. I call this the door to readiness of Yeshua's return. In Matthew 25:10, and while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and the prepared ones entered the bridal chamber with him, and the door was locked. Now you know about the parable of the 10 virgins. You sure do. And you also know that there were 5 wise. They were ready. They had their wicks trimmed. They had the oil. They were ready, waiting for the bridegroom to come. Then there were 5 others that they were not wise. They knew about the bridegroom coming. They knew about that. But they got content, probably. Maybe even just got too casual, comfortable, and actually were thinking they could grab from their neighbor what they needed to get in. Listen, that ain't happening. This is going to be an individual walk with God when He comes. I can't lean on my spouse. I can't lean on my parent. It's going to be me and me alone that makes that decision to be ready when He comes. I want to encourage all of us that we in this room today, I'm not concerned about anyone else but us today, that everyone in this room, young and old, are ready when He comes. Now, I like that second song. Well, I liked all the songs. Knew most of them, but that one, He's coming on the clouds. He's coming. We need to hear that more often. I said, we need to hear that more often. Growing up as a young person, we would sing a lot of these second coming songs. Maybe you've heard some of them. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. But they kept reminding us. See, if we're not careful, we get so earthly minded. We're involved in all this stuff, and we have all these goals and all these things that we want to do in life, and we just forget, you know, we're just a pilgrim. We're just passing through. This is not our final destination. This is not our final destination. Now, there's nothing wrong with dreams and having goals. There's nothing wrong with that. A wise person thinks that all these things are wonderful, but if those things take the place of Him on my mind, I've got to think about that. This parable is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call for those who believe in the Messiah, let alone the people that don't. But for us that know the Lord, we can get casual. We can get comfortable in our walk with God. This is not a negative to anybody. I said we all can get casual and comfortable with God. And the passion for Him is kind of not like it used to be. And we used to be more zealous. We used to get in the Word more, and we used to pray more, and we used to be part of prayer gathering. Something, you know, the word used to be. We want to get that out of our life. Come on. If we really believe the Lord's coming, let's press in like never before. I believe God is speaking right now, as I'm just saying that, to somebody that says, you know what, I need to step up. I need to step it up. Now, I'm not about more work. See, it's not about works. That's not going to get you to heaven. But when you know the Lord, you just want to do things for the kingdom. And if there's a call to gathering for prayer and fasting, you know, that ought to be, what ought to happen, which is not, what ought to happen when we have these spiritual opportunities, that's when we ought to flock to the house. Oftentimes when we have these kind of other things, you know, we get all the people, hey, we're talking about doing kingdom work, and only believers can do that. The world can't do that. They can come to events, but they can't come out. Well, I mean, they're welcome to come out, but they're not going to come out because they don't know the Lord. But we that know the Lord, that ought to be our call. Hey, we got to come together and pray. We need to believe God. We need to go out. We need to do those things because this is what we are about. Well, I'll just stop there because there's so much about these doors that let's just go to the last thought, and then we'll bring this to a close here. Yeshua said, I am the door. I am the door. Now, we live in a country that's very diverse, that has a plurality of beliefs. In America, we have a lot of suitcases that have come across the waters. And in those suitcases are a lot of belief systems. Some examples is, some believe there's no God that have come over here. Some believe we're all praying to the same God. Some believe there are millions of gods. Some believe all roads lead to God. You ever talk to somebody like that? Here's what Yeshua said. Jesus said this, I am the door. If someone would enter through me, he will be saved. Now, so many people feel there needs to be a variety of ways, but that's not what the Bible teaches. See, when you get in those kind of situations, heated conversations, all you are doing is you're a representative of the Lord, okay? They're not upset with you. Really, they're upset with him because that's what he said. We're just trying to communicate what he said. I am the door. And he is a door we enter to be saved. He is a door we enter to be reconciled to God. Salvation comes through Yeshua. In fact, his name means salvation. Now think about this. We are saved from the wrath to come. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from eternal separation from God. We are saved to be children of God. We are saved to receive every spiritual blessing. We are saved to inherit eternal life. Now, for those that ask this question, isn't there more than one way to heaven? I immediately think of Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. See, our Creator has one way of salvation. Our Creator is not compromising, changing, or customizing his plan of salvation to please anyone. Very important what I'm saying here. The way to salvation is through the ultimate sacrifice. The sacrifice of himself. God himself, who became human in the person of Yeshua. Yeshua voluntarily laid aside his divine rights and privileges and took on the limitations of humanity when he took residence on the earth. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, by faith in his atonement, we can be saved. You see, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, which the heart man believes unto righteousness. And so salvation is conditional. We must enter through the door. We enter by faith. How many are grateful for that today? If you haven't made that choice today, this could be your best day. Really, this could be your best day to make the decision that I'm going through the door. He said he's the door. He is the way for you and I to really be restored back to God. People are trying all kinds of things to be restored. He's already taken care of it. And through faith in that atonement, you and I can be restored back to God. In closing, just a couple promises here that he gives to us in our text. First promise is that you and I will enter and we'll go out into his sheepfold, into the door of salvation. We go in and out. In other words, it speaks of safety, security, and freedom to live without regret or fear. We enjoy peace, and our well-being is not bound by temporal concerns. And though we experience difficult times as well as good, we do not grieve hopelessly because he said he'd be with us. Amen? be with us. The second promise to those who enter through the door is this: you will find pasture. You will find pasture. Now, we all like Psalm 23, and oftentimes that's read during a celebration of life gathering. But listen, that's a powerful chapter for us that are living and serving God. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, I would rather be lying down in green pastures than weedy pastures. How about you? That's our God. That's our God, green pastures. In other words, He's going to sustain us. He's going to be our strength and our provider. Psalm 84:12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now that'll put a smile on your face this morning. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. I don't think people believe this. I'm not saying you, but I think there's a lot of people who don't believe that God has your best interest in mind. There are some circumstances that we all face that we scratch our head at times. We wonder, come on, we wonder sometimes, what is going to come out of this? Can I rely on Romans 8:28 that says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose? Sometimes it's a real stretch. I didn't write the book. My job is to follow Him. Amen? That's our job. We're not to criticize Him and tell Him what to do. And the third promise, this is fantastic, is real abundant life. I want you to hear this as we... That word in the Greek is over and above, this word abundant. More than what is necessary. Extraordinary. That's the kind of life He's thinking of when He thinks of you. And when you enter the door of the kingdom through Christ, you enter the best that God has for you right now. Some people are always looking for something else. They're constantly looking for something else. Instead of being at peace with God right now and enjoying what He's provided and living right now, living right now with the full potential that you have. Sometimes we're postponing. We're always postponing. Well, someday. No, this is the day. Right now. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that we would receive what He has for us and really appropriate and walk in it with clarity and purpose of heart. The last door as it closes, Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." This last door I call the door to your heart. Yeshua is knocking right now on the heart of believers. See, that verse is written to a church, Laodicea, a lukewarm church. We never want to get to that place, and sometimes we find ourselves there, and God wants to pull us out of that right now. He said to a lukewarm person, "I'll spew you out of my mouth. Would that you'd rather hot or cold." But He's knocking, and if He's been knocking on your door, you know why He's been knocking on the door? There's something going on that's not right. Because He doesn't need to knock when things are happening, that you're flowing in the Spirit, you're in line with His will. I mean, He's there. You're being comforted by Him, encouraged by Him. But when there's a knock, that's a little different. And my friends, if He is knocking, you're hearing a knock on your heart, really. He is knocking right now on believers' heart. There are so many believers out there that if you were to come up to them and have a microphone and say, you know, are you a believer? Oh, yes, I'm a believer. But they're not walking in alignment to God's will. Listen, He is knocking today on the heart's door of believers. And if you've been sensing that knock in your heart, He's asking today. There's a reason for that knock. See, Yeshua is knocking on the heart door of believers who are not where they should be in their relationship with him. When there's a lot of working and little worshiping. When there's a lot of spending and little giving. When there's a lot of talking and little praying. When there's a lot of good intentions and no changing. See, when we get distracted or sidetracked, we have a hard time hearing God's voice, don't we? Come on. We have a hard time hearing his voice. When we get distracted. When we get sidetracked. It's only when we hear his voice will we open the door of our heart. Did you hear that? When we hear his voice, will we open the door? He's knocking. He's knocking. He said, my sheep, hear my voice. Have you been hearing a knock from the Lord lately? If you've been hearing a knock from the Lord lately, this is a great day to say, Lord, you've been knocking on my heart. You do know it's not what you think. It's what he thinks is important. We may fool ourselves. The enemy, our adversary, comes along and he will applaud you and I when we listen to something other than God. And that encourages us. That encourages us. But he wants us to hear his voice, doesn't he? He really does. And so we want to hear his voice. And I want to pray if it's okay. And then I'll turn it back to you in a minute. But what I'd like to do, and this is not singling anybody out, because the Lord could have gave me 1,000 messages. There's a zillion messages. Over the years, the door is today's message. So let's just kind of think about that for a minute. And so I want to pray. I want to encourage you through prayer. Is that okay? I want to encourage you through prayer with these doors. And so I'm going to repeat, and then I'm going to pray. What you think about this? The door to decision making. In fact, right now, just you and the Lord right now. You don't have to even look at me if you don't want to. To decide. You need victory over some sin or clarity in some decision. Anytime you're being pulled away from righteousness, you know that sin is at the door and it wants to possess you. But I'm so glad the Lord said what he said. We can do it. So Father, right now I just pause. And I pray right now, Father, the door to decision making. For anyone right here that's facing some decisions, that you would guide them and direct them. And if anyone is struggling with some sin, where the enemy has just really lied, I'm asking today that would be broken off of them. They'd be set free from that sin, and that the decisions that they need to make would be in alignment to the will of God. That their choices, either yes to you and no to the enemy, would be very clear for them. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. The door to speaking. Maybe you need to put a guard over your mouth. I want to pray over that. Father, right now, I just pray for everyone in this room. Lord, what we say, it's either a blessing or a curse. It should not be. And I do pray, oh God, encouragement over this wonderful congregation. And I pray for each one right now that you, oh God, would guard our mouths. Put a guard over our lips. That the door of our mouth would be protected from just saying any old thing that comes to our mind. But that we allow the Holy Spirit to sift, and that the words that would come out would be of encouragement, edification. Lord, that we would learn how to build one another up. And when we have to be direct with one another, Lord, give us the grace to receive and to speak. But ultimately, God, our heart's desire today is that you'd guard our mouths. Help us with that, I pray. In Yeshua's name. Now, Lord, there may be somebody in this room, maybe more than one, that are really struggling. They really need some strength to persist in their spiritual attacks. The devil's a liar. He roams around like, he's not, but like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We're on his hit list. And he wants to attack us, discourage us, get us to compromise, get us to lose hope, get our eyes on the world and on things instead of you. Father, today I ask in the name of Yeshua that each one of us would take the authority that you've given to us and apply the blood over the doorpost of our hearts, over the doorpost of our minds, and that we will not bow down to the enemy's lies, but that warfare, that attack that's coming upon us, that we'd apply the blood to that and receive our victory, to see our escape, our freedom from it. And I ask this in Yeshua's name. Now, Father, as I think about the readiness of Yeshua's return, I pray for each one of us that we would be more ready today than we were yesterday for your coming. Lord, forgive us if we've gotten casual, we've got content, we haven't been pursuing you like we should, we haven't been tuning in to your voice like we should. Remind us today. Remind us that each one of us have to be ready on our own. We can't rely on a spouse or a parent or a child. We must be ready ourselves. And so the door to readiness, I pray, quicken us today, O God, to be ready like never before for your coming. And lastly, Lord, the door of our heart. Lord, it's so easy. It's very easy to let, you know, things come upon us, relationships with others, we get a hard heart. We get offended. All kinds of things start getting into our heart that should have never got there. And our heart can get calloused, can get cold. Father, I'm asking today that you, if you've been knocking on a heart's door, if anybody right now, God's been knocking on your door, surrender to him today. Renew your commitment to him. Allow him to remove from you any obstacle that seems to be in the way. That today, your heart is more serious about Yeshua. It hasn't been that serious as of late. But you want to see that changed. I'm praying and interceding today for this wonderful congregation today, Father. And if there's anyone right now that hasn't opened the heart to receive the Savior, right where you're at, you can just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Remove sin that separates me from you. Remove it from me. I want to be cleansed. I want to be made right with you. I want to be restored to God. I want to walk through that door that you're at to be saved. And I just open my heart to you and I receive you today. May it be so, Lord, today. So, Father, thank you so much. That you are doing the work in our hearts, in our lives. I thank you, Father, that you are in this place. You are in this place. this in your name, oh God. We just thank you right now, Father, for your help. We thank you for your help in all these areas. You told us to ask and we'll receive. So we've asked, we're receiving today, and we're thankful for it. And we give you praise in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. He's at work here right now. You know that. He's at work right now. He's at work right now.
Just
in these areas, we go to him. Amen.